Welcome to the Hope City Church podcast. We're so glad you're here. Wherever you're listening from, get ready for a powerful message that will inspire your faith, challenge you to grow, and remind you that there's always hope in Jesus. Let's lean in and hear what God has for us today.
Anyways, we are digging in. Grab your Bibles if you've got your physical Bible. We're looking in Matthew 23. If you've got that, hold it up. Let me see how many physical Bibles we got in the room. All right. We always say get a Bible. Make sure it's dusted off. All right. Let's see how many dusty Bibles we have in the room. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Anyways, we don't have that. That was first service. Today, we're finishing up on our sermon series called The Mask of Religion. And I want to tell you something. Next week, we start a sermon series called Echoes to the End. And so we're going to be talking about what the book of Matthew has to say about the end times. So we're going to be studying that for about 6 weeks, I think, somewhere right around in there. And so you're not going to want to miss a single week. By the way, if you see people that aren't here today, call them on the phone and say, where were you today? Get your behinds to church. Like, summer is not the time. We don't take breaks. Like, get in here and don't miss out. So I also say bring some friends with you. I mean, if everybody brought one friend, Pastor Shaq, we would double in one Sunday. Can you imagine? One friend. So bring some friends. Maybe you only have one friend. That's all we're asking. All right? All right. All it takes. So we're going to finish up The Mask of Religion. We're continuing in Matthew 23. It's really one of the most intense set of scriptures that we see. We see this in the last week of Jesus' life when he went from the triumphal entry to being put up on a cross on Friday. Triumphal entry on Sunday, cross. And what we see is we see the love of Jesus on full display. And as I was really kind of praying, and I was like to say, God, what do you want to say to your people today? One of the things that he spoke to me is there are people that are in the room that don't truly understand the love of Jesus. Like maybe your receptor's off. Maybe you've been broken. Maybe life has been so difficult that when you hear the word love, you've been taken advantage of. Your heart's been broken. You've loved a lot, and it's been broken. It's been taken advantage of. And that's not the kind of love Jesus has for you. And what I heard the Lord say is he said, I really want people to understand and not only get it from here but down to here how much I love them. How much the love of Jesus really changes our life. And that's what Jesus was doing in Matthew 23. And there's been a lot of hard words that Jesus gave to the religious folks of the day, the Sadducees, the religious leaders. And I think today we're going to see a shift. We're going to actually see what he was truly trying to communicate. Because throughout, he was showing his love. He was saying, I love you enough to tell you the truth. The world we live in today says, oh, don't tell people the truth if you love them. Love covers everything. No, love is honest with people, and they need the truth, and that's what Jesus does. Because without the truth, we don't change. Right? And we talk about these religious masks, and one of the things that the mask of religion keeps us away from is the love of Jesus. Because the love of Jesus changes us. When you really get it down in your heart and you understand how much Jesus loves you, it changes everything. There's some people that look in the mirror and they go, all the stuff I've done wrong, how could Jesus love me? With everything I've done, how could he love me? With all the mistakes I've made, and maybe you've been told your whole life you're a mess up and you don't measure up, and how could anyone love you? And that is such a lie from the enemy, because Jesus loves you and it changes everything. That love is called an agape love. It means you can't do anything to earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't have to be perfect. You can be a hot mess, and Jesus still loves you. And that's what we're seeing in this last portion of Scripture, the love of Jesus come out. Jesus spent a great deal of his time exposing the religious spirit, especially with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He loved them enough to call out the truth. He loved them enough to say, you are off. You are missing the essence of the gospel. Religion says you only are saved by what you do, by your works, by how you look, by your appearance, by how you dress, by how you act everything perfect, by how you have this religious mask on your face. And what a religious mask does is it makes you look good on the outside but empty on the inside. And if you are empty on the inside today, I'm telling you right now, my prayer is you take that religious mask off and you experience the love of Jesus that will fill your heart to overflowing. Because it's life-changing. It changes everything. take off that religious mask. He challenged the religious leaders to break free of the chains of religion and the bondage of a religious spirit. I hear people all the time coming up to me and go, oh, you're religious? No, I hate religion. I love Jesus. I hate religion. Because religion is man's way to try to get to God. And Jesus already made that way. Jesus already made a way. You don't have to do anything more. Anything more. There's nothing you can do that's going to cause Jesus to love you any less or any more than he already does. So stop letting the enemy beat you up. Stop letting the enemy sit in your ear and go, you're not worth it. You're not good enough. You don't measure up. You're just a screw up. That is the enemy. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not who you are. You are victorious. You're an overcomer. Your life can change the world. My love will change your heart. Let that in. That's what Jesus was saying to the religious leaders of the day. The enemy is so good at making something sound good, but it's so far off. Religion sounds like it might be right, but it's so far off. Because it's all about how we can get to God and not what Jesus has already done for us. You may sound good having all the right words in the world. You may seem close to Jesus, but in your heart you can be a million miles away. The religious mask is dangerous because it makes you think you're okay and you're headed in the right direction, but in reality, you're lost and you're heading to hell. It's how Matthew 7:23 is going to play out when Jesus says, but I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Notice it doesn't say, you weren't perfect enough, get away. You don't measure up enough, get away. No, it says, I never knew you. And when we talk about knowing, we're talking about a relationship. We're talking about his love, knowing who Jesus is. We're talking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, taking time in his presence, building relationship with him, getting with him, not just showing up here for an hour and a half on Sunday, checking off the church box, making everybody think you look perfect, and then going back to regular life. That's what Jesus was saying. Jesus came to cause us to step out of the religious mess. You're going to hear me repeat stuff today, and it's not because I'm losing my mind or I'm delirious or whatever, okay? You're going to hear me repeat it because Scripture says we need to hear it over and over and over and over again. Jesus loves you. There's nothing you can do about it. Jesus is not mad at you. Jesus loves you. He calls us out from behind the religious mask. The American church needs to hear it today. Because we can go to church and all look perfect, but it's not till we take off that religious mask that we get freedom. The reality of it is not one of us is perfect in this room. Not one of us hasn't made a mistake. Not one of us can do this on our own. Not one of us can afford to have pride in our lives. Because it brings guilt, shame, and bondage. Jesus did not come to bring bondage. He came to break us free. He did not come to bring guilt and shame, but to bring freedom. Jesus was not calling out people on the last week of his life to embarrass them or to make them feel bad. He called them to say, there's a better way. Friends, there's a better way. There's a better way that maybe you need to find. There was freedom. And whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Here's what I know. You keep going back to your old life, it tells me you haven't experienced God's love yet. Because God's love will change you. You won't want to go back to the garbage. You won't want to go back to the garbage dump of religion. Because when Jesus comes along and changes you, and you experience his love, all of a sudden healing begins. Doesn't mean you're not going to make a mistake. Doesn't mean you're not going to fall down. But I'll tell you what, when you've got people around you that will lift you back up, and you've got Jesus who will come along, it's game changing. Over the last several weeks, we've been pulling back that mask of religion. We've watched Jesus confront religion head on, not because he hated religious people, not because he was angry at the church attendance, not because he was against spiritual discipline. Jesus confronted religion because religion can make us look close to God while keeping us far away from him. Wow. And that's why you can come to church and still feel far away from him. You can go, man, I walk into the room and I don't feel the presence of God. That's something you got to stop and go, God, where am I disconnected? Yes, there's a disconnect here. And it's not all about what we feel, truthfully, too. Sometimes we go by what we feel. You know, I feel like God's not talking to me. I feel like God's, like, I'm trying to listen, and I just wish God would write it on a wall. I just, you know, I can't seem to hear his voice. You know, we can't go by what we feel, because feelings are here today, gone tomorrow. It might be that you're not hearing from God, because if you go back to the last time he spoke to you, you weren't obedient, and he's still waiting for you to act on what he told you to do, because he knows what's going to change your life. Here's the other thing I want to tell you, is religious folks always will not let anyone speak into their lives. They're not teachable, not telling me what to do. No one can speak into my life. No one can call me on the carpet when I need to be called. That's what the religious leaders were saying to Jesus. Like, you can't tell us what to do. Religious folks are not teachable, and they refuse to come under leadership. And so I want to tell you, if that's you, I think take that mask off and say, open my heart, Lord. Put some people in my life who are going to speak truth. Like, get some people that I can trust around me who will tell me the truth, because truth is love. When somebody will call you out on your junk and go, listen, dude, you got to change. Like, listen, like, this is not good for you. You need people in your life. Don't be so prideful to think you have it all together, because there's a moment where you realize you don't. Right? And you're like, man, I need somebody to help me. Get some friends around you who you can trust, who you know love you, and who can speak into your life to tell you the truth. And the minute that guard comes up, like, oh, nobody's telling me what to do, you better stop and go, why? Because it could be insecurity. It could go back to that fact that you never feel like you do anything right, and now you're getting called on the carpet again. How about you just say, God, take all that stuff away. Like, I am bare before you. Change my heart. Religion, the religious folks of the day would not take correction from Jesus. We got to take some correction. We can't be so prideful we think we have it all together, that you got it all under control. In fact, when you hear a bunch of I's in your life, like, I did this and I did that and I've got it together and I got, like, it's all because of me. I's are a bad sign. Right? Because religion focus on what you can do to get to God. It's what I can do to get to God. It's not the fact that you've received his love, freely given, freely received. Religion focuses on appearances. Jesus focuses on transformation. Religion is about performance. Jesus is about relationship. Religion says, look at me. Jesus says, follow me. That's why at Hope City, I just want you to be clothed. You can come however you want to come to church. Just have clothes on. That's all I'm asking, okay? Please, don't be wearing any nasty pajamas. I know you can't. I don't care. Whatever you want to wear. Just put clothes on, okay? It's not about how we look on the outside. That's why you'll see at Hope City, anybody that walks in our doors, I don't care if they're tatted head to toe. I don't care if they have a hat on. I don't care what they look like. It's not about their appearance, about what Jesus is doing in their heart. And I want everybody to feel loved. There's people that tell me all the time, well, I don't have the right outfit to come to church. Okay, what outfit do you need? What outfit do you think? Well, I need a dress. No, you don't. Wear shorts. In fact, I'm thinking about this summer when it's hot, I'm going to wear shorts, all right? Thank you, Jesus. Shorts and flip-flops, they're coming out. I got to get a little bit more tan, though, before I do that. The reflection might hurt some eyes. All right, anyways. Moving on. The jet lag. Jesus confronted the Pharisees. He exposed their hypocrisy. He challenged their pride. In fact, when people look at the church and they call the church hypocrites, it's because of a religious spirit, right? It's because of the religion that everybody's trying to make themselves look good. If we would just be transparent to say, listen, we don't have it all together. We need Jesus, just like everybody does. It changed everything. But then something unexpected happened. The tone changes when we get to Matthew 23. The anger gives way to heartbreak. The judge begins to weep. The lion sounds like a grieving father. And what we discover is that behind every warning Jesus gave us was a heart full of love. It was love. It was love that Jesus loved us enough to tell the truth. Jesus loved the Pharisees and the Sadducees enough to give them the truth. He loved them even if they didn't love him back. He offered freedom and breakthrough even if the people didn't respond. Because those Pharisees and Sadducees never changed. They're the ones that put him up on a cross. His response was love. He wasn't angry with the people. He loved them. He spoke truth, and it was very pointed. But it was done out of love for the people, a desire to see freedom, which is the same way he still operates today. Religion would like to paint God as a God that's waiting to angrily punish his people. Religion would love to cause you to believe that God is sitting up in heaven looking at all you've done wrong, and it's just not true. Religion would make you measure your life up to standards that Jesus doesn't even ask you to measure up to. Friends, there's nothing, I'm going to say it again, hear me when I say this, there's nothing you could do that would ever cause Jesus to love you any more or any less than he already does. In fact, here's what's amazing to me. He knew that you and I would be sitting here in 2026 in need of a Savior. He knew the kind of mistakes you were going to make. He knew there was going to be moments where you got off the track. He knew the way the enemy was going to attack you. He knew that there was going to be times where you turn your back on him. He knew there was going to be times that you weren't connected to him, and he still got up on a cross and he died for you. He knew it all. That's the kind of even if. This was Jesus' biggest even if moment. We're in this, our year's theme is even if. From Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they got in the fire, which I think is funny. I'm working on a film called Daniel in the Fiery Furnace 2. It comes out in September. It's going to be really cool. It's our theme for the year. But they said, even if Jesus doesn't save us, even if God does not save us in that fiery furnace, we're still going to trust him. That's our saying. That's our thing for this year as a church. Even if things don't go our way, even if things don't seem like they're working out. I mean, I can tell you this year, we said even if, and it has been a year where we've had to hold on to that. Like, even if things seem crazy, even if things aren't seeming to go the way God promised, we're holding on and we're believing. Jesus loved us enough to speak the truth. Listen to what Matthew 23, 37 through 39. And this kind of ties all of our sermon series together right here. And it says this, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, how often have I wanted to gather your children together as hens protect her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And now look, your house is abandoned and desolate. For I tell you this, you will never see me again until you say, 'Blessing on the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Listen, when we don't know God's love, our house is going to be abandoned and desolate. We're going to feel empty inside when you don't understand how much he loves you. And Jesus, as he capped off this whole time of speaking, this would have been probably like Tuesday, Wednesday of the Passion Week. 3 days later, he was going to be up on a cross. He caps off all of this after he was so straight, after he was so like, he just laid it out for the Pharisees, and he said, "I want you to know, I've been trying to gather you. I've been trying to speak truth to you. I love you so much." I say this, please don't be the person that kills the prophets and the stones and stones God's messengers when he brings them into your life. Don't shoot the messenger. It kind of goes back to that being willing to be corrected and listen to God. Religion and a religious spirit refuses, like I said, to come under authority or to listen and be obedient to what God is saying through his servants. The religious leaders had completely ignored Jesus' message and actively did all they could to stop him. Could you imagine Jesus is standing right in front of you, the God of the universe, and you still refuse him? You still don't get what he's trying to say. You still think you know more than he does. That's a religious spirit. Matthew 23, 37 through 39 was not a statement of anger. This was a statement of heartbreak. Jesus is saying, "I wanted you, I pursued you, I called you, I loved you, I protected you, but you wouldn't come." And even if all those things were true, Jesus still loved them. That's the kind of love he has. His love for them would never change. Friends, it's the same for you and I today. Don't exchange a false religious mask for a true relationship with him, knowing that no matter what you do, where you've been, where you've gone, that Jesus still loves you. He still is, his desire is for you to find freedom from the bondage of religion. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We're talking about relationship. The cornerstone of our relationship with Jesus has to be built on his love. It's not about on your works. It's not about how much you know this word. It's not about what you give. It's not about what you do for the kingdom of God. The cornerstone is first his love. Because out of everything, his love for us, that should be our overflow. So our life should flow out of that love for, that we have, that relationship that we have for him. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. It's already yours. All you have to do is take hold of it. Take hold of it. There's some in this room. You don't feel loved unless you're performing. You don't feel loved unless you're measuring up to some standard that you set for yourself or you set for someone. In fact, when you hear God speak to you, he goes, and you hear this voice like, hey, stupid, what are you doing? That is not God. That's probably your dad from when you were little. Or maybe you're like, God says, hey, idiot, why aren't you following my ways? That's maybe a coach from when you played baseball. That's not God. Because God's never going to belittle you. He's going to talk to you as a son and a daughter who he loves. So I want you to be careful what you're listening to. When God speaks to you, how does he speak? And I want to tell you, a lot of times it's quiet. He's not yelling. You don't want God to yell at you. I'm just telling you, that's not a good thing. He speaks quietly. That's why you got to turn all the noise off. He loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it, and to receive it, you just take hold of it. You don't have to measure up. You don't have to perform. You don't have to have some, I don't know, whatever you think that you have to do to get God's love, to get his attention, it's all a lie. He already has it for you. The love of Jesus is not based on what you do or how you perform. There's people in this room, you have a hard time accepting and receiving love. Maybe the way you receive and accept love is off. I kind of look at it like as antennas on an old radio trying to get a signal. If your antenna is broken, you're never going to receive that love. And so the Lord wants to bring healing to your brokenness. The Lord wants to bring healing to the pieces of your heart. You could be sitting in this room today and you say, Pastor, my heart is in 1,000 pieces. You know what Jesus is really good at? Putting it back together again. Yeah. And what I know about Jesus is when he puts you back together again, it's the best kind of love that you can experience. He takes those broken pieces of our lives and things that just have broken you. See, religious people don't like to admit they're broken. They don't like to admit, they like to look at everybody else and tell everybody else they're broken, but they don't like to look at themselves in the mirror. And it's okay to be honest and say, listen, I'm broken. I need healing. And I want to tell you something. The way brokenness is healed is usually by forgiveness. And that's how you start. I'm telling you right now, my prayer to you today is I want you to get this love that God has for you deep in your heart. Let him start putting you back together again. Put it all out on the table. He knew what you were going to walk through. He knew that you were going to need a Savior. He knew I was going to need a Savior, and he still got up on that cross. He knew that there would be times where we turn our back on him. I want you to get that. I know I said that before. I'm saying it again. He got up on the cross knowing what you would need today. 2,000 years ago, he said, I love them enough, and I know in 2026, they're going to need a Savior. They're going to need somebody to be there for them. They're going to need somebody to set them free, and I'm there. I got up on the cross for that. God does not have to get back up on the cross again. He already did it for you. So start accepting it. Start receiving it. Don't let the enemy lie to you anymore. You're not just that. You're not just this. You are loved by God. If you have a mask on, it's time to pull it off. When you pull it off, that's when Jesus begins to bring healing. That's when Jesus begins to change your life around. You can't hide under that mask. Here's the problem with the mask. It even hides your heart from God. The mask of religion is really good at putting high defense walls around your heart, and those walls are good at keeping even Jesus out. You know how you're in trouble when you say, I was hurt this way and I will never be hurt like that again? You're in trouble. Because what it should be is, Lord, I was hurt. I choose to forgive. Now bring healing to my heart. When you put those walls up so high, God can't even get past them. And then we wonder why we're separated. Those walls are keeping Jesus out. Jesus reaffirmed this truth in the scripture we read today. He said, I'm here to pull walls down. I'm here to bring healing. There's a couple points I want to point out. Point number one, religion rejects what relationship receives. Religion rejects what relationship receives. Notice Jesus said, how often I wanted to gather you. Jesus was not trying to push them away. He was trying to pull them close. Religion says, I'll come to God when I have it all together. Relationship says, I come to God because I don't have it all together. Religion says, I have to clean myself up first. Jesus says, come as you are. Religion keeps people performing. Relationship brings people home. The tragedy of Jerusalem wasn't that Jesus wasn't available. The tragedy was they refused him. The same thing happens today. People don't reject a church. They reject a version of Christianity built on performance. They reject a version of faith that offers rules without relationship. They reject religion. I don't want you to come here and just do the motions. I want you to feel God's love every time you walk in the room, because you need to know this is a place where God's love is alive and well, and he loves you so much. And my prayer is that you plug into that. Jesus was still saying, in spite of all this, I want to gather you. I want to heal you. I want to restore you. I want to bring you close. The world is looking for restoration, and I want you to know there's only one way to be restored, and it's through Jesus and his love. You can search the world over to try to put your heart back together again, and only Jesus can do it. It's the kind of love we're talking about. Religion rejects this love because it's not something man can control. We're good if we can try to control. We love to put conditions and hoops to jump through to receive this kind of love, and especially on other people, right? Even if we mess up, Jesus loves us. Even if we reject him, he loves us. A relationship with Jesus is the only way to truly understand how much Jesus loves you. How is a relationship built in our life? Pastor Shaq, if we're going to be friends, how's a relationship built? We got to talk every day probably, right? We got, Jake, if we're going to build a friendship, could we go months without talking? That's not a relationship. We got to keep our streak going with Jesus every day. Keep that streak going, all right? Some of you are so worried about your Snapchat streaks, but you're not worried about your God streak. Come on, keep that streak going every day. That's how you build a relationship. Some of you are sitting here, what's a Snapchat? Don't worry, I'll explain it later. I don't do it either. Some of you have so much brokenness in your life, the first thing Jesus wants to do is heal your heart so you can receive. He wants to heal your cup. You go back and life has just broken you. There's just been one thing after another, and you've actually started to believe that that's Jesus. Jesus doesn't break you, he heals you. He doesn't work by punishment, he works by love. Now, there are natural consequences, but his love is what heals us. Point number two, God's love remains even if you reject him. You can never be so far away from God that the love of Jesus can't reach you. You can never mess up so great that his love won't be available to you. That's why I love the prodigal son, right? That story of that son coming back after he made such a big mess of his life. There's no one in this room that you've made such a big mess of your life that God can't restore. You just got to step into that. Here's what amazes me. For the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Jesus knew what was about to happen when he was talking to them. He knew he was going to be on a cross. He knew they were going to reject him. He knew they were going to crucify him. He knew that they were going to mock him. He knew that they were going to choose Barabbas instead of him, and he still got up on that cross. And he still said, how often I wanted to gather you. That's grace. That's mercy. Those religious leaders and Sadducees, I would never want to gather them for 1 minute. And Jesus said, I wanted to keep gathering you. It doesn't make sense, does it? When you read what they did to him. But that's grace. That's mercy. That's the gospel. That's the love of Jesus. And we all have a little bit of Pharisee and Sadducees in our heart that Jesus needs to work out. Jesus loved them before even they loved him. Jesus pursued them before they pursued him. Jesus remained faithful even when they weren't unfaithful. And here's the good news for somebody in this room today. God has not stopped pursuing you. If you're here today, you're here for a reason. God has not, his love hasn't stopped pursuing. Even if you've wandered, even if you fail, even if you've been hurt, even if you become cynical, even if you've been wearing a mask, God still wants you, he still loves you, and he wants to transform your life. There's still time. And I love this. Romans says that while we were still sinners, what did Christ do for us? He died. Not after we got cleaned up. Not after we figured it all out. While we were still sinners. And there's not somebody in this room that could be a bigger sinner than what these, and God's saying, I was still there for them. Point number three, this was an even if moment for Jesus. This was his moment where he said, even if they deny me, even if they mock me, even if they choose Barabbas, even if they send Judas to get a big bag of silver, I'm still getting up on that cross. That was his even if moment. Before there was an even if moment in the fire, there was an even if moment in the heart of Jesus. Matthew 23, if you look, Jesus had spent chapter after chapter, and we've been in the book of Matthew for a long time. He spent chapter after chapter teaching, healing, performing miracles, calling people to repentance, inviting people into a relationship, and this was still the issue that he faced with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He could have literally, like, turned upside down and done all of these miracles, and they still wouldn't see him for who he was. Calling people to repentance, inviting people into relationship. Jesus was pursuing Jerusalem over and over and over again, and now he knows what's coming. He knows that these same people are going to reject him. He knows that in 1 week they're going to go from saying Hosanna to crucify him, and he still got up on that cross. That was his even if moment. He knows the city's not going to respond. Yet what does he do? He still loves them. He still grieves for them. He still longs to gather them. He still moves toward the cross. And this wasn't just about them. It's about you and I today. Because that's the model. He modeled. He said, this is who I am. This is who I am. This is what I'm going to do for my people. This is what I'm going to do for people who are far from me. That's who I am. That's how much I love them. And that goes down the ages and the years and the centuries of who Jesus was. That was his even if moment. Even if they don't change, even if they reject me, even if they mock me, even if they spit on me, even if they nail me to a cross, Jesus says, I will still love them. I will still die for them. I will still make a way for them. That's the gospel. And that's what the world needs to hear. The real world doesn't need to hear, well, you can't come to church if you wear a hat. Well, you can't come to church if you look like that. Well, you, man, you've done some. No, anyone can come to Jesus. Anyone. Anyone. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, how you failed. Do you hear me when I say that? You're like, Pastor, you're repeating yourself. I am, because I want you to get it down in your heart, and I want you to believe it for yourself. Because it will set you free. Jesus' love has always been an even if love. And if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to learn to live with that same kind of faith. Even if my circumstances don't change. Even if the miracle takes longer than I expected. Even if the person I'm praying for never responds. Even if I don't understand, I will still trust him. I will still follow him. I will still worship him. Even if his love doesn't ever change for me. That's why I can follow him. Point number four, and the last, the greatest tragedy is missing Jesus while standing close to religion. These guys missed Jesus. They were a million miles away. They were literally right in front of him. And I compare them to the disciples. Imagine the disciples sitting there with Jesus, having the friendship, like just being able to hang out with Jesus. Could you imagine? Pharisees and Sadducees had the same opportunity. But they ignored him. They literally, their hearts were a million miles away from him. We can all be in the same room and still miss Jesus. Some find him, some don't. And it's not because of Jesus. It's because of our hearts. It's where we're at. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 15, 8 through 9, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is farce, but they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. The Pharisees knew scripture, they knew prophecy, they knew theology, yet they missed the Jesus standing right in front of them. Think about that. They were inches away, yet millions of miles away from in their heart. And that's the danger of religion. You can know the church language. You can know the Bible stories. You can know, you can give, you can sing the songs, you can know to say the right things. You can know how to dress the right way or look the right way, and your heart can still be a million miles away. And here's what's sad. You're missing out. You're missing out on the full love of Jesus. Like, don't leave anything on the table. Why are we satisfied with just a little bit when we can have all? Why are we sitting here going, I'm going to leave this on the table. I'm just going to, because I don't want to take the time. I don't want to get up 15 minutes early to spend some time with Jesus. I'm going to leave all this on the table. I'm telling you, you're missing out. You might even be sitting here thinking, well, I don't deserve that. Yes, you do. You do. You are good enough because Jesus made you that way. You do deserve it. What a tragedy to miss Jesus. Imagine what the religious leaders would have felt like when they woke up on the third day and realized he is who he said he was. My prayer for you is you wake up and you realize he is who he says he is for you. That you grasp it. That you get his love. And listen, you may not get it right away. It might be one step at a time towards him. And all of a sudden, one day you're going to have this gusher of love. And you're like, oh my goodness, he loves me. And it just overflows your heart. The goal of Christianity is not what you know. It's not church attendance or perfect behavior or following all the rules. The goal is Jesus. The goal is intimacy with Jesus. And some people, I say that right now, and it's so foreign to you. Like, and I'm telling you, make that the pursuit of your life because it'll change your life. The disciples were so lucky. They recognized. I believe the religious leaders of the day could have experienced Jesus in the same way if they would have surrendered. Don't miss it. Don't live this life missing Jesus. Don't be close to Jesus but never experience him for yourself. Take the religious mask off and really experience who he is. As we wrap up, the religious leaders had an if faith. If Jesus proves himself, we'll follow him. Jesus had an even if love. Even if they reject me, I still will die for them. Jesus stood overlooking Jerusalem. He wasn't angry. He wasn't grieving because he knows what could have been. I wonder today how many people have been living behind a mask. The mask that says, I'm fine. I got it all together. I don't need help. I can do this myself. And Jesus is standing there with open arms saying, come close. Come home. Let me gather you. Let me heal you. Let me carry you. Let me love you. Let me heal you. All the brokenness, let me put you back together again. Church, the message of Matthew 23 is not that God is trying to expose you. It's that God loves you too much to leave us hidden. He removes the mask so he can restore the person underneath that mask. And today our response is simple. Even if life isn't going to go the way I plan, even if I don't understand, even if I've been hurt, even if I've failed, even if I've worn a mask, I will trust Jesus. I will follow him. I will open my heart to him. I'll surrender because his arms are open wide and his invitation is still the same. Come home. Today, maybe you've been hiding behind religion. Maybe you've been performing instead of surrendering. It's easier to perform than it is to surrender. You know that, right? Because performing is what we do. Surrender means, God, take my heart. I surrender. In fact, when we give the call to salvation, which we do every Sunday, I'm not interested. I don't care if somebody raises their hand. What I'm praying is they surrender. And go, Jesus, my life is yours. Maybe you've been attending church, but you're distanced from Jesus. Maybe life has hit you hard and you've been tempted to walk away. Today, Jesus is saying, how often I wanted to gather you. He wants to bring you in close. Let him. If you're ready to drop the mask, if you're ready to come home, if you're ready to trust God, if you're ready to experience the love of Jesus, today's your day. Jesus' even if was for you. Come to Jesus. His arms are open. He's still gathering people. Will you bow your heads and your hearts across this room? Lord, right now, I pray there would be a baptism of your love. Lord God, where people have had cold hearts right now, I just pray that you would pour your love, God, that their hearts would begin to warm. Lord Jesus, where there's people that are sitting in this room, and I know it, Lord God, their heart has been broken into 1,000 pieces over and over and over again, God. And today is the day they're saying, I want to come home. I want to have what you're talking about, Pastor. I want Jesus to put me back together. I want Jesus to heal my heart. Maybe your life has been one disappointment after another. Today, Jesus wants to fill you back up with his love. Don't let the enemy define you anymore by your mistakes, by your past, by how you've been broken. Some of you allow the enemy like your brokenness is your badge. Like that's how you define yourself. That's how you introduce yourself. And what Jesus is saying today is, that's not what defines you. It's my love. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I know I need to surrender to Jesus. I've not done it. I need to give my life to him. I need to say, God, here's Jesus, here's my life. Here's all of it. The broken pieces, the messiness, all of it. I give it to you right now. Will you exchange that for your love? And just his love pour out, making that decision for him. If that's you, just slip up a hand right now. I want to pray with you. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Oh, you guys, I wish you could see what I'm seeing. God's working pretty deep in here right now. Anybody else? We're going to pray a prayer together. And church, we always pray this prayer with our friends who raise their hands. We walk it together. It's a journey we get to do together. We're walking people to Jesus right now. Let's pray it across the room. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Thank you for loving me when I couldn't love myself. Thank you for dying on a cross for me. Today I say, you drive and I'll ride. My life is yours. I love you, Jesus. And I want to pray a prayer for you right now, Lord, for right now, for people in this room, God, who need their hearts to be put back together again. Lord, they've been hiding out behind a mask, and everybody around them thinks they're fine, but God, inside they're breaking. Lord, inside it's been just a rough time. God, I believe that you want to bring them to healing and wholeness. And so, Lord, today, God, I just pray that this week would be a week, God, where they'd feel your love, where they'd experience you. Lord, where they'd lay it out on the table with you, God, where they'd be honest to say, here's where I'm at, God. I need you. Jesus, I need that love. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you that you measure us different than the world does. Lord, I thank you, God, that you have so much more for everyone in this room, that, God, that begins with understanding your love and your goodness. Lord, show us what it looks like to have a relationship with you. Lord, in fact, I pray that people would ask that question, God, this week. God, what can I do to have a greater relationship with you? And, Lord, that they would listen for you to speak. Jesus, what can I do to understand your love to the depths even greater than I've ever understood before? Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you for Jesus that you got up on a cross. Lord, I thank you put action to love. God, it wasn't just words. For some people in this room, love has just been a bunch of words that never have any action behind it. Jesus, you already proved. You showed us first what kind of love you have. God, you put action behind it before we even knew it. Lord, before we even knew we needed it. God, I thank you for that right now. For people that their hearts are broken, I pray, God, that you just bring that. God, you'd bring healing to their heart. Lord, put them back together again. Lord, I thank you for your goodness in your name. Amen. We love you so much. Have an awesome day. If you raise your hand, please go back and see Mark and Angel. They want to pray with you. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next Sunday at Hope City.
Thanks for tuning in to Hope City Church. If this message encouraged you, share it with a friend and help spread the hope. If you'd like to support what God is doing through Hope City, you can give anytime at myhopecity.church/give. Your generosity helps us reach more people with the message of Jesus. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a week. We can't wait to connect with you again. And remember, no matter what you're facing, there is hope in Jesus. We hope you have an amazing week.